Chapter 6, Desert Stability Operations. This chapter outlines the purpose and characteristics of stability operations in the desert. It reviews the Army/Marine Corps stability operations tasks and offers TTP for tailoring them to the desert environment. Stability Operations. A stability operation is an operation conducted outside of the United States in coordination with other instruments of national power to establish or maintain a secure environment and provide essential government services, emergency infrastructure reconstruction, and humanitarian relief, ADP-3O. A stability operation occurs as part of decisive action in a joint operation, or as an activity, often in peacetime. Stability operations tasks are those tasks executed by a JFC to successfully accomplish stability operations. These tasks may be the operation's primary mission, be performed as tasks specified or implied during large-scale combat operations, be performed as activities during periods of peace, or be part of larger operations to consolidate gains. Stability operations in the desert may be performed in both urban centers and in sparsely populated desert regions. In urban centers, stability operations focus on providing security, establishing law and order, and restoring essential government services. In rural desert regions, stability operations may aim to repair or secure key infrastructure, such as oil and gas wells, assist with agricultural projects, such as the construction of irrigation canals, and improve or secure key roadways that connect urban centers. Stability operations tasks. Stability operations tasks seek to stabilize the environment for the host nation to begin to resolve the root causes of conflict and state failure. Ultimately, stability operations tasks aim to establish conditions that support the AO's transition to legitimate authorities. Stability operations involve both coercive and cooperative actions. Units conduct these operations in situations in which a legitimate civil authority cannot provide requisite security and services to the desert inhabitants as a result of decisive action during a joint operation, internal strife or civil war, natural or man-made disaster, foreign subversion, lawlessness, insurgency, or terrorism. Initially, stability operations focus on the minimum essential stability tasks of providing security, food, water, shelter, and medical treatment. Once conditions allow, these tasks are a legal responsibility of the Army/Marine Corps forces. However, commanders may not need Army/Marine Corps forces to conduct all these essential tasks, since civilian organizations, such as NGOs or IGOs, may be available to perform them. As conditions and time allow, the effort will transition to a more deliberate execution of the 6 stability tasks. See JP-3-07, ADP-3-07, and MCWP-3-03 for additional information on stability tasks. The Army and Marine Corps utilize different yet compatible stability tasks. Establish civil security. Civil security is the provision of security for state entities and the population, including protection from internal and external threats. Establishing a safe, secure, and stable environment is crucial to obtaining local support for military operations. During the initial phase of a stability operation, Army/Marine Corps forces may need to perform all civil security tasks if the HN police and military cannot or does not exist. However, while Army/Marine Corps forces establish civil security, leaders may use security force assistance units to train the HN police and military. As soon as HN security forces can perform this task, Army/Marine Corps forces transition civil security responsibilities to them. Within the security sector, transformation tasks focus on developing legitimate, sustainable, and stable security institutions. Civil security establishes the conditions for enduring stability and peace. Establishing security often requires the conduct of offensive operations to identify and neutralize enemy forces, guerrillas, or insurgents fomenting violence. The primary offensive operations used during stability operations are the cordon and search, and the search and attack. However, commanders balance the benefit of offensive operations against the risk that they may alienate the populace and further destabilize the area. As the security environment improves, commanders execute fewer offensive operations and transition their focus to other stability operations tasks. After eliminating a guerrilla or insurgent force, commanders may no longer have to execute aggressive offensive operations and can instead transition to simple presence patrols and community engagement operations. CFM3-24/MCWP3-02, MCWP3-33.5, for more information on counterinsurgency operations. Many desert regions are sparsely populated and primarily inhabited by nomadic tribes, herders, and small agricultural communities near rivers, canals, or oases. These communities may police themselves and require fewer resources to establish civil security. Instead, commanders secure these areas by conducting border security operations to regulate cross-border traffic and prevent weapon smuggling and infiltration by foreign fighters. They may also secure these areas by patrolling key locks to ensure they are not used to traffic weapons or arms to more populated areas in theater. Commanders assess local customs and norms regarding the role of police and security forces as they work with the host nation to establish civil security. Different cultures view the role of security forces differently, and to be sustainable, the security framework developed by Army/Marine Corps forces must be acceptable to the local populace. Some nations in the Middle East rely more on a tribal structure to enforce local order, while others are more accustomed to a centralized national police force. Some cultures may view proactive policing as unnecessary government interference or oppression. Regardless of how the local culture views the role of its security forces, commanders recognize that a Western policing model may not be acceptable, and they cooperate with the host nation to develop a security framework to meet the needs of the local populace. Provide humanitarian assistance. Conflict, especially extended conflict, results in human suffering caused by acute shortage of water, food, shelter, clothing, bedding, and medical care. Marine Corps forces are often the first response force on the scene and support HN efforts to provide humanitarian assistance with logistics, distribution, communications, and other relief capabilities and supplies. Most often, Marine Corps operating forces work in support of other U.S. governments, departments, and agencies, the host nation, or others. Depending on the situation, providing humanitarian assistance may include three subtasks: providing local security, distributing relief supplies, and supporting dislocated civilians. CMCWP3-03 and ATP3-57.20/MCRP3-03-alpha.2, MCRP3-33.1-Charlie, for additional information regarding humanitarian assistance. Support to civil control/support establishment of civil control. Civil control is the ability for the sanctioned local leadership to manage the disputes and conflicts within the population effectively and foster the rule of law. The rule of law means that all persons, institutions, and entities, public and private, including the state, are accountable to laws that are publicly promulgated, equally enforced, independently adjudicated, and consistent with international human rights principles. To strengthen civil control and the rule of law, Army/Marine Corps units seek to improve the capability, capacity, and legitimacy of HN judicial and correction systems by providing training and support to law enforcement and judicial personnel. Army/Marine Corps units focus on implementing temporary or interim capabilities to lay the foundation for HN or inter-organizational development of judicial systems when conducting stability operations in desert environments. Similar to establishing civil security, supporting civil control requires Army/Marine Corps forces to assist in developing sustainable institutions that meet the needs of the populace. Although they may perform the same functions as institutions in the West, judicial institutions in a desert may utilize less sophisticated technology and procedures to investigate and adjudicate cases. Individual and witness testimony, confessions, and reenactments may be more credible in these cultures than forensic evidence. Commanders recognize these differences and do not attempt to force foreign practices onto nascent judicial systems, as this will likely prove unsustainable and quickly abandoned once Army/Marine Corps forces leave the theater. Restore essential services/support and or provide restoration of essential services. Restoring essential services to desert inhabitants allows them to return to their daily activities and sets conditions for economic development. Ideally, the HN government and civilian relief agencies should restore and develop essential services. These agencies, along with the HN government, often possess critical knowledge regarding what services are required, where they are best delivered, and what delivery method is most suitable to the local environment. However, when partner organizations are not well established or lack capacity, Army/Marine Corps forces can accomplish these tasks until relieved by other organizations. Often, Army/Marine Corps forces enable the host nation, NGOs, and IGOs to restore essential services by providing logistics support and security. Essential services are often grouped under the acronym SWET MSO, which stands for sewage, water, electricity, academics, trash, medical, safety, other considerations. Leaders use this acronym and the associated criteria to both assess the status of essential services and then build lines of effort to restore these services. Access to sufficient potable water and reliable electricity are critical to effective stability operations in the desert. Without these essential services, the desert's harsh environment and extreme heat can make life unbearable, and the local populace will quickly become frustrated and unsupportive. In addition to establishing civil security, commanders make restoring water services and electricity their top priority. Units can use the SWET MSO framework to build lines of effort for stability operations. Support to governance. Governance is the set of activities conducted by a government or community organization to maintain social order, define and enforce rights and obligations, and fairly allocate goods and services. Effective, legitimate governance ensures these activities are transparent, accountable, and involve public participation. If a HN government or community organizations cannot provide governance, units may need to provide some degree of military support. In extreme cases where civil government or community organizations are dysfunctional or absent, international law requires military forces to provide basic civil administration. Although elections often become an end state condition in planning, commanders should not rush to hold elections before the environment is stable and the populace is ready. In societies divided along ethnic, tribal, or religious lines, as is common in many deserts, elections may further polarize factions. While representative institutions based on universal suffrage often offer the best means of fostering governance, this may not be the case in all cultures. Instead, commanders recognize that cultures unaccustomed to the liberties associated with democracy may take longer to stabilize before holding elections. In these situations, commanders prepare for extended periods of martial law and military governance. By establishing civil security, restoring essential services, and supporting economic development, commanders can stabilize conditions enough for fair and peaceful elections to occur. Support economic and infrastructure development. Long-term peace and stability in the desert requires sustainable economic and infrastructure development. In post-conflict and fragile states, HN actors, not interagency partners, civilian relief organizations, or NGOs, often have the best qualifications to lead efforts to build economic capacity. However, if security considerations or other factors restrict their ability to intervene, Army/Marine Corps units assist HN entities in fostering sustainable economic and infrastructure development. Preserving assets such as factories, universities, and markets dramatically reduces the time required to reestablish a sustainable level of economic activity. When conducting reconstruction and infrastructure repair, commanders consider using these activities to improve the local economy and provide legitimacy to the HN authorities. Local contracts offer a tool for commanders to restore essential services, rebuild key infrastructure, aid economic development, and reduce dependency on U.S. forces and resources. Through contracting officers, commanders award construction or service contracts to local businesses. These contracts then stimulate the local economy by increasing available currency and improving employment. This has the added benefit of reducing the number of unemployed civilians vulnerable to exploitation by guerrillas or insurgents. Local construction contracts can also imbue the community with a sense of pride in the restoration of their town or city and foster buy-in. When done in concert with the HN or local government, reconstruction projects enhance legitimacy and credibility. However, awarding local contracts for short-term projects does not replace the need for long-term economic planning and the development of stable jobs. Commanders consider using operational contract support to benefit both the joint force and the local populace. Operational contract support is the process of planning for and obtaining supplies, services, and construction from commercial sources in support of joint operations. Operational contract support can stimulate the local economy by providing a reliable yet temporary injection of capital to local companies that provide services to the joint force. See ATP-4-10/MCRP-3-40Bravo.6, MCRP-11Hotel/NTTP-09.1/AFMAN-10-409-OSCAR for more information on operational contract support. Supporting economic and infrastructure development in the desert often requires a multi-directional approach. While commanders may coordinate with civil affairs to stimulate local economic development, senior leaders often have to work at the national level to facilitate infrastructure projects. Infrastructure development may only be feasible when the HN government can manage and supervise large-scale projects without unacceptable levels of corruption upsetting investment. This will likely require a top-down approach by Army/Marine Corps leaders alongside unified action partners to assist with the structural reforms and oversight required to increase the HN government's ability to manage large infrastructure projects. Large infrastructure projects also require significant investment from unified action partners, such as the Department of State, and this may be beyond the purview of Army/Marine Corps leaders. Commanders leverage the CMOC to ensure unity of effort and coordinate infrastructure development alongside unified action partners. Many deserts contain valuable natural resources and associated infrastructure that units must protect to hasten a return to normalcy. Commanders consider oil and gas refineries, pumping stations, pipelines, and wells as key terrain they must secure as soon as possible after the cessation of large-scale combat or disaster recovery operations. Resource sites and infrastructure are vital to fueling the country's economy and facilitating its long-term stability and recovery. Commanders protect these sites from looting or exploitation by the local populace and third-party actors, such as neighboring states, until the legitimate authority entitled to the properties and their contents can properly administer them. Commanders also secure key transportation infrastructure, such as rail yards, ports, and warehouses, to ensure the logistics network can support commerce and trade. Conduct security cooperation. Security cooperation is all Department of Defense interactions with foreign security establishments to build security relationships that promote specific United States security interests, develop allied and partner nation military and security capabilities for self-defense and multinational operations, and provide United States forces with peacetime and contingency access to allied and partner nations. JP-3-20. Security cooperation is composed of multiple activities, programs, and missions, and it is functionally and conceptually related to security force assistance, foreign internal defense, and security sector reform. Security cooperation primarily focuses on interoperability programs with both core partners and the fledgling security forces of a failed or failing state. These programs aim to develop security force doctrine and organizations, establish formalized training and exchange programs, assist with leader development, aid in equipping HN forces, and support HN forces with specialized capabilities. The Security Force Assistance Brigade is manned, trained, and equipped to conduct security cooperation and can be used to allow other forces to focus on additional stability tasks. See JP-3-20, FM-3-22, and MCIP-3-03DI, MCIP-3-33.03, for more information on security cooperation activities. When no formal HN security force exists, such as in the aftermath of large-scale combat operations, commanders can leverage local militias or paramilitary forces as the foundation for a local police force or army. However, intelligence professionals need to screen and vet these forces to ensure they do not present a security risk to either the local populace or U.S. forces. Commanders explore all options when determining where and how to train an HN security force. If local facilities are unavailable or the security environment is not stable, commanders may coordinate with a neighboring state to host the training. The neighboring state may possess better training facilities than those present in the failed or failing state. Removing recruits from an unstable environment also allows them to focus solely on training without the distractions caused by ongoing violence in their homeland. This practice may also reduce desertion rates by preventing recruits from easily returning home. Warfighting function considerations. An element of decisive action, stability operations are often executed alongside offensive and defensive operations occurring across the joint operations area. As a result, many of the warfighting function considerations previously addressed in Chapters 3, 4, and 5 apply to stability operations in the desert environment. The following considerations, organized by warfighting function, address the desert's environmental impact on units conducting stability operations. Information. Information operations are a critical component of effective stability operations. The success of stability operations often rests on the local population's perception of Marines' actions in the area. As such, commanders use information operations to communicate progress, communicate intent, and garner understanding with affected audiences. An understanding populace, in turn, increases the pace of stabilization and decreases requirements for security forces, thereby enhancing overall efficiency. Commanders also use information operations during stability to deny insurgents or irregular forces the ability to exploit a potentially sympathetic population while the AO remains unstable. These operations are most effective when closely integrated with the intelligence warfighting function to identify how the enemy is using cultural, religious, ethnographic, political, economic, and criminal considerations to its advantage. Command and control. Stability operations challenge command and control by requiring units to execute a wide range of tasks with various forces across a single AO. During stability operations, tasks can range from area security / rear area security to infrastructure development. Simultaneously accomplishing such disparate tasks often requires unique task organizations. Units without previous command relationships or experience working together must develop complementary systems and processes that achieve unity of effort. To achieve unity of effort among unified action partners conducting stability operations, commanders establish a CMOC and ensure appropriate liaisons are exchanged across the command. The CMOC and liaisons ensure security operations and stability tasks do not work at cross purposes, and operations to further secure the populace or defeat remaining threats do not undermine economic, infrastructure, or governance initiatives. Political and military objectives. Stability operations use assessment frameworks that contain qualitative and quantitative criterion by which to measure progress towards objectives and the effects necessary to meet those objectives. Quantifiable criteria must be measurable and link cause with effect. Qualitative criteria provide context and inform the commander's ability to understand an operational environment. Often, quantitative criteria are used to inform and develop qualitative assessments of an operation's progress towards identified political objectives. These criteria are known as measures of performance, MOPs, and measures of effectiveness, MOEs. A measure of performance is an indicator used to measure a friendly action that is tied to measuring task accomplishment, JP50. MOPs help answer the question, are we doing things right? A measure of effectiveness is an indicator used to measure a current system state, with change indicated by comparing multiple observations over time, JP50. MOEs are used to answer the question, are we doing the right things? These measures help determine if changes to the stabilization lines of effort are necessary and are essential to conducting accurate assessments. MOEs and MOPs are also important tools for identifying transition points during a stability operation, such as when an operation can transition from the transformation phase to fostering sustainability. Many cultures in the Middle East and other desert environments do not share the sense of urgency and haste common in Western cultures. Commanders may have to temper their temporal expectations when assessing progress towards political and military objectives in these environments. Commanders avoid pressing forward with timelines and initiatives if HN partners balk at the desired pace. Fostering sustainability requires buy-in. It is better to work at a slower pace with partners than a quicker pace without. Note: commanders should consult the USAID's Field Operations Guide for Disaster Assessment and Response when conducting their assessments and developing MOEs for relief operations. Information operations. Information operations are an important component of effective stability operations and necessary for influencing both the enemy and HN audiences. Vigorous information operations influences the perceptions, decisions, and will of the threat, the enemy, the population, and other audiences in support of the commander's mission. Information operations objectives are translated to information-related capability tasks that are then executed to create the commander's desired effects in and through the information environment. These operations isolate a threat or enemy from sources of support, neutralize hostile desert populations or gain the support of neutral populations, and mitigate the effects of threat information operations, misinformation, and rumor. Developing an effective assessment plan is essential to ensuring that information operations objectives achieve their intended effect. Contrary to the popular image, many desert nations have advanced information technology and communications infrastructure with populations accustomed to receiving information through diverse media. Information operations account for this diverse information environment and should leverage all forms of media to reach the intended audience. This includes using social media, internet-based news services, and broadcast media to influence the largest possible audience. Commanders also recognize the technologically savvy inhabitants of many deserts can easily upload and transmit information to an international audience through social media. The Information Operations Plan should address methods for interacting with the populace via social media and combating misinformation distributed by the populace. To build trust and demonstrate responsiveness, units can conduct this interaction in real time through certain social media platforms. Adaptability. Adaptability is critical to stability operations in the desert, as units often need to perform tasks outside their traditionally prescribed capabilities. This is compounded by the fact that various towns and villages in a single AO may progress at different rates through the stabilization framework. For example, one village with a particularly troublesome insurgency may remain in the initial response phase longer than a more stable village that can transition to the transformation phase. If a single unit has responsibility for both villages, it may have to conduct offensive operations to defeat the insurgency in the less stable village while working to restore essential services in the other. Stability operations require adaptable units that can simultaneously function as security forces, engineers, and civil affairs, often in the same AO. Rapidly flexing between tasks requires soldiers/marines willing to use unorthodox methods to meet the needs of the local populace. Commanders foster adaptable units through mission command. They address the disparate conditions encountered in their AO by relying on decentralized leadership and decision-making to drive subordinate initiative. Mission command empowers subordinates to meet the commander's intent by taking proactive steps to stabilize their respective AO, regardless of where it is in the stabilization framework and irrespective of conditions in adjacent areas. This approach maintains unity of effort and allows a single organization to simultaneously conduct stability operations tasks appropriate to the conditions on the ground. The commander and staff support adaptability through careful analysis and detailed planning to account for the patchwork nature of stabilization operations. The ethnic and cultural diversity of many desert regions results in varying degrees of progress as different AOs transition from instability to recovery. Effective and thorough staff planning generates detailed civil considerations and provides decision support tools that allow commanders to adjust course quickly as conditions evolve. The staff assesses how developments in one AO may impact stabilization operations in other areas. They develop branches and sequels to facilitate rapid transitions to address contingencies across subordinate AOs. Aggressive coordination and synchronization. Effective stability operations require active coordination with unified action partners and HN authorities. The increased number of participants, both military and non-military, and the disparate missions they execute can create a significant coordination and synchronization challenge. To mitigate this, commanders establish a CMOC to coordinate stabilization activities across the AO. The CMOC coordinates civil, military, HN, NGO, and IGO actions by reviewing stabilization plans, developing and assessing MOEs and MOPs, and ensuring that unified action partners work together towards the same goal. Through the CMOC, commanders initiate cooperative efforts with participating civilian agencies and determine where their objectives and plans complement or conflict with those agencies. Commanders can then match Army/Marine Corps capabilities to the needs of the supported agencies. Reconnaissance and liaison elements, heavily weighted with civil affairs, engineers, and medical personnel, may need to be deployed immediately to determine what type of support agencies need. Overall, consistent, regular coordination fosters trust and makes unity of effort possible in operations where unity of command is challenging to achieve. Commanders consider establishing, as necessary, separate organizations for area security and stability operations. This technique can increase coordination among unified action partners while improving the public's perception of the stabilization effort. Organizing forces in this way enables units tasked with conducting stability operations to avoid the stigma of being associated with continued acts of violence in the AO. It may also encourage NGOs and IGOs to work more closely with Army/Marine Corps forces by distancing them from offensive operations still occurring in parts of the AO. Together, this can increase popular support for economic, governance, and infrastructure initiatives. Perseverance. Stability operations often rest on Army/Marine Corps forces enabling the success of a legitimate HN authority. Achieving this end state requires the perseverance to partner with HN leaders and influence them to address the underlying causes of instability or revise their policies to address the concerns of disaffected portions of the population. Stability successes achieved by U.S. forces alone are likely short-lived. Through perseverance and an accurate understanding of the society's history and culture, commanders gain an advantage in identifying the problem, recognizing root causes, quickly engaging and assisting key HN leadership, and planning and executing successful stability operations. Perseverance requires Army/Marine Corps leaders to balance initiative with patience as they work by, with, and through their HN partners. These leaders respect the HN culture and treat their counterparts as peers, recognizing that, without buy-in, objectives met will not last. This often requires compromise to ensure that systems, processes, and institutions developed are acceptable to the HN. Restraint. Stability operations generally place restrictions on the ability to use force. Unlike offensive and defensive operations where commanders seek to apply overwhelming combat power at decisive points, restraint is essential to success during stability operations. Tolerance for collateral damage is significantly less during stability operations than during large-scale combat. Excessive, wanton, or inadvertent use of force can significantly destabilize a fragile AO regardless of the progress made to that point. Area security and stability operations requiring the use of force employ combat power selectively, discriminately, and precisely in accordance with assigned missions and prescribed policy limitations. Commanders often adjust criteria for the use of force and escalation of force procedures when AOs transition to predominantly stability operations. Many cultures that inhabit desert regions take significant offense to mixed-gender searches or questioning, and although this is not a use of force, commanders still exercise restraint and patience by respecting the HN culture. Soldiers/Marines should only conduct mixed-gender searches under extreme circumstances. Leaders make every effort to conduct same-gender searches even if this means delaying operations. Movement and maneuver/maneuver. Just as the use of force is more restrictive during stability operations, movement and maneuver/maneuver is often limited by requirements to restore a sense of normalcy to the AO. To reduce impacts on the local populace and bolster the legitimacy of the HN authority, commanders will likely face additional constraints, must do, and restraints, cannot do, that directly impact movement and maneuver/maneuver. For example, constraints may require commanders accommodate the location of traditional nomadic camps regardless of their proximity to Army or Marine Corps forces. Restraints, for example, may prohibit the use of rotary wing aviation below certain altitudes to prevent disturbing livestock or animal herds. Adhering to these limitations may seem risky or counterintuitive. However, they are necessary to return a fragile or failing state to stability. Ultimately, the goal of stability operations aims to reduce the need for U.S. forces at all. As stability operations are successful and soldiers/Marines transition responsibilities to the legitimate civil authority, limitations on movement and maneuver/maneuver will probably increase. Intelligence. Just as in the offense and defense, intelligence and operations officers, in coordination with the rest of the staff, develop a synchronized and integrated information collection plan that satisfies the commander's information requirements. However, during stability operations, the information collection plan is informed by the CMOC and may be driven by data collection in support of MOEs and MOPs. Information collection during stability operations also relies heavily on data provided by the HN government, NGOs, and IGOs. Within the constraints of OPSEC, commanders share relevant information and coordinate stability operations with other agencies and forces operating in their AO. Commanders work within foreign disclosure limitations to foster information exchange among U.S. forces, HN authorities, partner nations, NGOs, and IGOs. Commanders provide information to these partners to leverage their capabilities and achieve unity of effort. They use information provided by partner organizations to shape stability operations and better direct their efforts. Often, the HN, NGOs, and IGOs possess far greater access to the civilian populace and have a wealth of knowledge on the AO. One of the most valuable methods for obtaining intelligence in support of stability operations is face-to-face encounters with targeted audiences by unit patrols, human specialists, MISO specialists, and civil affairs teams. Commanders conduct routine engagements with key civilian leaders in their AO to track the progress of stability operations and exchange information. A unit can gain valuable information by conducting periodic surveys or opinion polls of civilians to determine changes in their perceptions and attitudes. A continual Army/Marine Corps presence provides the desert population a sense of security and allows soldiers/Marines to develop a detailed knowledge of the patterns of life in their assigned AO. Armed with this knowledge, they can detect the absence of the normal or the presence of the abnormal that might indicate a potential threat. Fires. Stability operations are characterized by restrictive fire support coordination measures that limit the use of indirect fires to prevent unintentional civilian casualties and foster a return to normalcy. However, units can employ non-lethal fires, such as illumination, to enhance U.S. or HN forces' ability to operate during periods of limited visibility. Non-lethal direct fire munitions are also critical during stability operations to provide police with graduated escalation of force measures for addressing criminal behavior, such as looting or rioting. Sustainment/logistics. Stability operations may require sustainment/logistics support to systems and organizations that are not traditionally supported by Army/Marine Corps logisticians. The ability to support these systems and entities may require special authorization, authorities, limitations, and procedures. However, this support can prove instrumental in building HN capability and capacity, as well as supporting IGOs, Unified Action Partners, and other groups seeking to transition an AO back to HN legitimate authorities. Stability operations often place increased demand on the following classes of supply. Class 1. Until essential services are restored, HN forces, IGOs, and NGOs, the local populace, and Unified Action Partners may require bulk Class 1 support from U.S. forces. The demand for bulk Class 1 is more pronounced during humanitarian assistance missions. Class 3. Army/Marine Corps forces may need to support HN forces with POL until local sustainment and distribution systems return to operational capacity. Sustainment planners ensure fuels provided are compatible with HN equipment. Class 4. Army/Marine Corps forces use construction material and barriers to support infrastructure repair, physical security improvements, and survivability improvements to HN security force installations. Class 8. Depending on the capability and capacity of the local healthcare system, commanders plan for an increased demand for medical supplies to treat both HN forces and the local populace. Because the area may lack essential services, the need for medication and supplies to treat endemic diseases can be significant. Malaria is common in many desert regions. When the host nation lacks medical capabilities, units anticipate providing medical support to stability operations to HN forces, security personnel, and the desert populace. Unlike Army/Marine Corps forces, HN soldiers and civilians are not generally evacuated outside of theater and, depending on the availability of resources, may not qualify for extended treatment at U.S. facilities in theater. Commanders leverage NGOs, IGOs, and the HN government to develop and support a medical treatment and evacuation plan for the local populace. Often, U.S. forces support this plan by providing both standard and non-standard air and ground platforms for patient transportation and evacuation. Protection/force protection. Priorities for protection often change as the focus of decisive action shifts from large-scale combat operations to stability operations. Commanders continue to identify threats and hazards, critical assets, vulnerabilities, and risk. However, critical assets, threats, and vulnerabilities will likely differ during large-scale combat operations. Critical assets requiring protection during stability operations consist of HN infrastructure, such as oil and gas pipelines, ports, water treatment plants, power plants, and hospitals, HN government and security facilities, and economic centers, such as markets. Army/Marine Corps forces may also protect sensitive religious, cultural, or historical sites from attack or desecration. Ethnic tensions increase during periods of instability and grow when factions attack or loot important religious or cultural sites. Commanders coordinate with HN authorities to identify sensitive sites and allocate forces to securing them in accordance with the local customs and norms. Stability operations in the desert present unique protection challenges as forces that had previously been conducting mounted maneuver are now operating dismounted in largely urban areas. In addition to this deliberate transition, new units are likely to be introduced into theater. Civil affairs teams, security force assistance units, and provincial reconstruction teams are critical to effective stability operations. However, they do not possess the inherent capability to protect themselves from significant threats. As such, commanders allocate available security forces and additional resources to support these forces when necessary. They also establish a quick reaction force for their AO and plan operations so that units can provide mutual support. The threat during stability operations often consists of irregular enemy forces, including guerrillas and insurgents. As soldiers/Marines operate more closely with HN civilians, they become more vulnerable to attack by insurgents or guerrillas hiding among the population. When partnering with HN security forces, the risk of a FSF attack increases. Commanders recognize the changing nature of protection requirements during stability operations and apply all the elements of combat power to mitigate risk and protect U.S. forces, foreign partners, and the populace. See ATP 3-37.15 for additional information of FSF attack prevention and response. Air and missile defense. Generally, the threat from air and missile attack is low during most stability operations. However, commanders can still use protection techniques associated with air and missile defense to protect critical assets. Commanders protect critical infrastructure by expanding the use of DECAL and DAL to identify and protect assets deemed vital to stabilization efforts. During stability operations in the desert, critical assets may include oil and gas infrastructure, hospitals, police stations, government buildings, water treatment plants, power stations, and markets. Commanders use the DECAL and DAL concept to allocate security forces, such as military police, to protect assets from sabotage or ground attack by guerrillas or insurgents. They also work with HN authorities and security forces to improve physical security and survivability measures at these sites. Chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear operations. Although the threat of conventional seaborne weapons is typically reduced during stability operations, the risk that insurgent or guerrilla forces may acquire and employ toxic industrial chemicals as weapons remains. To prevent this, commanders make every effort to account for and secure toxic industrial chemicals in the immediate aftermath of large-scale combat. Units must secure chemical production sites, fertilizer plants, and munition depots until units can transfer their control to a legitimate authority. Commanders ensure soldiers/Marines maintain access to MOP gear if any threats of seaburn or toxic industrial chemical use arise. Survivability. Transitioning from offensive operations to stability operations will likely trigger an increased requirement for Class 4 supplies to harden both HN facilities and those occupied by U.S. forces. Commanders improve survivability at sites where soldiers/Marines frequent. They use physical security site assessments to identify risks and assess vulnerabilities at static locations occupied by U.S. forces. This includes not only billets and outposts, but HN security force camps and sites. Commanders also implement access control procedures to ensure that unauthorized civilians or FSF do not enter sensitive areas and attack unsuspecting soldiers/Marines. Area Security. Commanders protect the local population by performing area security / rear area security to defeat attacks by insurgents or guerrillas and conducting police operations to protect civilians from lawlessness, rioting, and looting. Police operations are best accomplished by working with local police and HN security forces to establish order. If a local police force is unavailable, commanders prepare to provide this essential service until HN police get the training and equipment to maintain order. Military police are manned, trained, and equipped to provide policing expertise. Leaders tasked with restoring law and order should request additional military police forces. During stability operations, Army/Marine Corps forces often provide security for HN government personnel, NGOs, IGOs, Unified Action Partners, and the local populace. Providing security to Unified Action Partners, HN government personnel, NGOs, and IGOs allows these agencies to focus their efforts and capabilities on the stabilization tasks they are uniquely qualified to support. Transitions. The transfer of an AO to a legitimate authority relieves Army/Marine Corps forces of area security/rear area security responsibilities and represents a transition from stability operations to operations to shape or prevent. Conditions on the ground and resources available determine what security and cooperation tasks have priority during and after the transfer of authority. It is possible that Army/Marine Corps forces occupy long-term garrisons to prevent a recurrence of hostilities, as happened in Europe, Japan, and Korea in the 20th century. Alternatively, a more robust security cooperation arrangement involving international peacekeeping forces might supplant a U.S. presence. Regardless of the tasks required in a specific AO, Army/Marine Corps units continue to accomplish the missions that reflect their strategic roles of shape, prevent, win, and consolidate gains in support of U.S. interests. Transitioning an AO from military to civil control requires focus, careful planning, and close coordination among Unified Action Partners. Transitions are gradual and often occur on a case-by-case basis across recovering states. AOs where units met clearly distinguished stabilization objectives gradually transition to the legitimate civil authority. AOs may not meet stability objectives at the same pace, and all AOs will not transition along the same timeline. Criteria for determining when to transition an AO is based on conditions, not time, and requires the presence of a civil authority capable of executing all the stability operations tasks on its own. This is especially true in the desert, where ethnic differences and the inequitable distribution of resources can create drastically different conditions across a single state. Just as transitions across a recovering state are gradual and vary by AO, transitions within an AO are gradual and require HN forces to supplant Army/Marine Corps forces at the individual, team, squad, and unit levels. Both the JFC and the HN civil and military leadership monitor this transition to ensure unity of effort and cohesion. In addition to threat considerations, planning for transitions in the desert requires all parties thoroughly understand formal and informal civilian leadership and relationships, government institutions and administrative functions, ongoing reconstruction projects, economic systems and initiatives, NGOs and IGOs remaining in the area and the services they provide, significant key events likely to affect operations.